every single marketer and every single brand should be attempting to earn a disproportionate share of conversation.
If you work for an organization where they say, bring us a chart that goes up and to the right, you have a challenge.
Half the money I spend on advertising is wasted. The trouble is, I don't know which half.
I am here to inspire you, to excite you, to motivate you, to transform you, to energize you.
Hello and welcome to Pipeline Visionaries. This episode features an interview with Mark Vyden, the SVP of Brand at Common Spirit Health, a nonprofit that operates 140 hospitals and more than 2,200 care centers, serving sites across 24 states. In this episode, Mark discusses building an emotional connection with the consumer, using your brand promise as an operating model, and his focus on sharing the amazing stories in the healthcare industry. But before we get into it, here's a brief word from our sponsor.
Today's episode is brought to you by Qualified. If you're a revenue team that runs your business on Salesforce, Qualified will accelerate your lead generation, pipeline, and ultimately revenue. Learn more at qualified.com.
And now, please enjoy this interview between Mark Vyden, the SVP of Brand at Common Spirit Health, and your host, Ian Faison.
Welcome to Pipeline Visionaries. I'm Ian Faison, CEO of Caspian Studios. And today we have a special guest. Mark, how are you?
Great. And good to be here. And good to see you again.
Indeed. It has been quite literally years since we chatted on a different podcast and different, well, I would say different companies, but different names of companies in your case. And excited to bring the conversation to our Pipeline Visionaries audience.
Excellent. Well, looking forward to our conversation.
Indeed. And today's show is always brought to you by our friends at Qualified.com. For our listeners, you can go to Qualified.com to learn about the number one conversational sales and marketing platforms for your company's revenue teams that use Salesforce. Go to Qualified.com to learn more. If you use Salesforce, you should be using Qualified. Go check them out. First question, how did you get into marketing?
Marketing was like a passion I had all my life. I remember being given a book by my grandfather, Ogilvy on Advertising, when I was in sixth grade. And fast forward, graduated from college in Boston, found my way into Hill Holliday, which was at the time the largest ad agency in the city. Worked on a number of clients in the most junior position you could imagine, but really learned a lot. And then I moved client side to head up a very small marketing department for a mutual fund company. And life found me in San Francisco. I think I had one winter too many in Boston, and found myself in a small boutique agency that served a lot of different brands: Houghton Mifflin, Union Bank of California, NBCI, and kind of the rest is history, as they say. So it's been, you know, not planful in terms of every step that I've taken, but every step has felt like the right move once I've done it.
And flash forward to your role of SVP of Brand at Common Spirit Health. Tell us a little bit about your role.
Absolutely. So I oversee brand for one of the nation's largest healthcare systems in the country. We serve over 20 million patients, have a number of consumer-facing brands, Dignity Health, CHI Health. And so this organization you referenced, I was part of a different company when we last talked. That was Dignity Health. And Common Spirit Health was created back in 2019 when Dignity Health and CHI merged. We've since acquired Virginia Mason in the Pacific Northwest and a number of other entities. And we have partnerships with academic institutions like Baylor College of Medicine in Texas and Creighton University Medical Center in Nebraska and Arizona. So really a larger platform to extend our brand.
And we're going to get a lot into the brand piece and how this all fits in. So let's get to our first segment, the trust tree.
With the knowledge you've been given, you are now on the inside of what I like to call the circle of trust.
What, I thought we were in the trust tree with in the nest, are we not?
Where you go and feel honest and trusted and share those deepest, darkest marketing secrets. So being the seventh largest healthcare organization in the country, how do you think about marketing?
Well, we start first by building an emotional connection with the consumer. We know that consumers sort of are attracted to brands that align with their values. There's something almost subliminal or subconscious to how consumers relate to brands. I have to say in healthcare, that's a little unusual. Most healthcare advertising focuses on very specific clinical services, offerings, et cetera. And what we thought is, let's really start with that emotional connection in the patient journey, because who wants to think about healthcare? No one wants to think about what hospital would I want to go to if I needed to go to a hospital,
right?
Patient care, ER, wherever you are in your healthcare needs. And so we wanted to kind of lodge the stickiness, if you will, this memorable sort of call to action. We call it Hello Human Kindness. And it's an invitation, we think, to really align with the consumer on that emotional journey.
Yeah. And who are your customers? Who are the folks that you serve, those target audiences?
Well, of course, everyone needs healthcare. But by and large, and we're not unique in this, you know, women are the healthcare drivers. They're the often taking care of not only themselves, but their partner, their family, in many cases, their aging parents. We know that they're busy. They have a lot on their plate, as we all do. And so how do we make those choices and decisions easier for them? And so we focus a lot of our advertising on that audience.
That's amazing. I love that. And true in my household as well.
Men are terrible at healthcare. I don't know what it is, myself included. Like, we just don't like to think about it, I guess.
Yeah. And I think there's something in our lizard brains in there where it's just like, yep, once I'm old enough, or once something happens, I just walk into the woods, you know, or something. I don't know.
Exactly.
It's like, I'm not going to be a burden on anyone anymore. I don't know. But obviously, you know, serving so many different types of people and all of that, how do you think about, you know, how the brand interacts with them and sort of the origins for the Hello Human Kindness platform?
So again, as we think about the customer journey, we're starting right with awareness and preference, building that awareness for our brands. And as we thought about that, what we realized is, you know, I think when you go into a healthcare setting, when you have an interaction with a nurse, a doctor, caregiver, it's one of the most meaningful, sacred things that can happen. Trust has to be there. Connection. You're hoping for empathy, and you're hoping that the caregiver is going to listen to you. And what we know from our organization is that when we started to build the brand, we didn't start with consultants or agencies. What we started doing is we listened to our own people first. We talked to our physicians, our employees, our nurses, our clinical staff, and said, what do you think we should be known for? And what they all said in different ways was this sense of compassion, of caring, of empathy. And then we talked to consumers and we said, what's most important to you? And what we heard was, sure, great care. Like, everyone, like, that's like table stakes, that you're going to have the sure. technology I need and the kind of clinical expertise that's going to address whatever ails me. But what patients, what customers are really looking for in addition to that, is that care experience, is being listened to. And patients are very realistic. They know in this day and age that everything's been compressed, that they may only have 5 minutes or 10 minutes, whatever the time is with their doctor. But in that time, they want to be looked at in the eye. They want to be heard. Mm-hmm. They want to really be understood. And so out of that came Hello Human Kindness, this sense of, you know, humanity holds the power to heal. That when we are present with each other, healing can occur. And what's really lovely about this, in my opinion, is that what we saw was, you know, there's this cultural tension that's only magnified since we began the work, where there's this discord in society, where we're shouting, where we're not listening, where we're, you know, we may move into a new neighborhood and not meet our neighbor for many years, right?
Oh, gosh, especially in the Bay Area. Are you kidding me?
Absolutely.
It's crazy. It drives me absolutely crazy of, like, not getting to know your neighbors. It's like one of my least favorite things.
I was going to say, if you say hi to someone on the street, you may be looked at in a funny way. Like, what's that? You know, is that someone slightly crazy? Right. And so people are yearning for a more human connection. And it doesn't matter where you are in the country. It doesn't matter if you're in a red state or a blue state. People want more connection. People want to be more connected with their families, with their neighbors, and those that they interact with. So that's what Hello Humankindness is born from. And again, we think it's a wonderful metaphor for our way of healing, or our way of caring for you, that it's, yes, medical excellence is right there, but also is this sense of personalized care.
I love that. I am a military vet, as I think we've talked about in the past. And so I go to the VA for a lot of stuff. And it's always so interesting to me as someone who like grew up, you know, like, or not grew up, but spent a lot of formative years in the Army, of like how well branded the Army is. Like everything is like so on brand, right? It is very like, there's a lot of thought, you know, put into that sort of stuff. I guess I should say, I don't know if there's a lot of thought put into it, but there is a lot of execution of that, that sort of thing. Whereas you launched Hello Humankindness years and years ago at this point, and you stuck with it as a core part of the company, of the mission, of the brand, of your marketing, of your messaging. And I think that's super fascinating. So often people switch their brand, their messaging, their, you know, all those sort of things, and yet you stuck with it. Do you feel like the resonance over time has really been valuable to you to be able to like say like, hey, this isn't just like a brand slogan for us. This is something that is enduring.
Absolutely. So you mentioned the military and the military and pushback if I don't have this right, but I feel like cohesion is a critical component of the military, and so how they achieve that cohesion is really baked into the ethos, into the culture. Likewise, what we wanted to bake into our organization is really the sense of delivering on a brand promise, the brand promise of humankindness. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's what takes it out of the realm of a slogan and into an operating principle. And so Hello Humankindness isn't just our advertising campaign. I think we have a great out-of-the-box, memorable advertising platform that all of our geographies are using, yes. But what makes the durability of this is that it is, again, the lens upon which we look at the patient experience, the employee experience, even how we build the care experience, the physical manifestations come to light. They're all grounded on our brand principles. And so brand is really sits at the center of so much of our organization. So it never even occurs to us to think about, well, let's toss this out and go look at something else. And, you know, I'll share with you what I see and have seen all the time is the competitors will start to nibble at what we do. They'll start to come in and borrow some of our themes, but they never stay with it because again, I think it's kind of like, you know, the flavor of the day, and then the shiny object over there captures their attention and they're on to something else. Where we have this anchoring principle, Hello Humankindness, that again is seeded through so many areas of the organization. It is our brand promise.
I love that. So does the SVP of brand do marketing? Like, what is the scope of your role?
So I oversee brand advertising, and brand advertising is a layer that extends across the entire organization. It is setting up how we create that awareness, that initial awareness, and that preference. Other people in the organization then take that and focus specifically on things like service line advertising.
Sure.
So how do we advertise oncology or neurology or orthopedics? And I'll share with you that the brand informs all of those communications. It's not like if you're a consumer, you're served up one kind of message over here and another completely out of the box thing over there. It's all integrated beautifully. And we collaborate and work together incredibly well. It's part of how we advance, again, this platform. And when I say collaborate, not just with our friends in marketing or communications, but across the entire organization, our clinical leaders are involved in a lot of the work we do, because it's, you know, it's their brand. It's what they want to bring to life.
And we'll get into some of the tactics here in a bit. Any other thoughts on strategy or your personas that you're talking to or anything else there?
I would just say, in terms of strategy, that, you know, we're always taking a look at market conditions, what's changing. Healthcare, like every other industry, is going through rapid change brought upon not only by the pandemic, which in healthcare changed a lot, but also by the economics that confront us. And so we're always looking, we're always fine tuning, we're always making sure that, you know, what might have been successful 2 years ago, is it still going to work today? But at the core, as I said, at the core of what grounds us is our mission, our vision, and our values. And that's exemplified by the brand that we have.
All right, let's get to the playbook.
This is what's great about sports. This is what the greatest thing about sports is. You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game.
Where you open up that playbook and talk about the tactics that help you win. So you have a pretty unique approach to your industry, drive this like category relevancy. And it's interesting that like brand advertising, you know, like as part of that, how do you think about driving category relevancy? How do you think about getting that message out in front of people, and where are you putting that?
Well, again, as I spoke earlier, always by connecting to the emotional response that we think a consumer will have. Consumers purchase healthcare not much different than they would a car or a watch, meaning it's a feeling, it's a sense that that's where I want to go versus there. And so how do we create that alignment of values? How do we inspire them? How do we punch through the noise? Again, no one wants to think about healthcare until they need it. And we know we need to be present in their sort of consideration before that moment of need. And so it's making sure that we're at the places that our target audiences are before those moments. It's showing up for, you know, those kind of activations that hopefully will surprise and delight. I'll give you a quick example if we have time, which is we were running a commercial in brand on broadcast with a little dog. A girl was sitting in a high chair and the dog kept popping up, and the super was, you know, health and happiness go hand in hand. And so in a number of our markets, we sponsored pet adoptions with the local SBCA. And we paid for all the work that went into that so that people could come and have a pet. And it was a beautiful tie-in between what you saw on, you know, on our communications, be it television or digital or wherever. And then this real life moment where you could interact at the hospital, you could get a pet, you could understand why having a pet is so good for your health. And so that's what we always want to be doing, is really extending the brand, extending our communications to the healthcare category. So it starts with something a little unusual, and then it ladders to something that's very tangible.
That's great. I love that example. So, and it's interesting that, you know, there are sort of multiple different pieces there. And then one of the delivery mechanisms is with a TV spot, TV campaign. Obviously, like, you know, you see all sorts of the larger brand things like outdoor and TV and those type of activations, you know, in a space where you want to get in front of everyone, right? Like everyone needs healthcare. And so you want to have reach and you want to have those types of scale. How do you think about that sort of like impact driven versus like scale driven versus like, you know, you mentioned getting in front of women specifically, who are predominantly the leaders of healthcare in their households. Yeah. How do you think of that, like scope and scale versus, you know, depth of engagement?
Yeah. Well, different tactics certainly come into play on that front. I think that broadcast and out of home still are huge awareness drivers, and even broadcast. I mean, we all know the data that shows how usage viewership is rapidly going down. It's still one of the few places where you can reach a lot of people all at once, even in this era of cord cutting. But at the same time, what's been really incredible to to see is how we can now be very surgical with our digital purchases, how we can create a 360 sort of surround where you can be watching something on broadcast. We can then be in the tablet or the phone at the same time with a different but related message. That has been just incredible. And you know, with Gen AI coming on board, we just know that that's even going to get more. The abilities for us to get more sort of personalized are going to be that much greater. And that's what it comes down to is, again, how do we personalize content? How do we make our content relevant to that moment and to that person who's seeing it?
Yeah. Any other things that you are, you know, like exploring or things that you're exploring for next year or different, whether it's, you know, channels or tactics or ideas or anything like that?
So one of the things we wanted to do, and we're just beginning this work for the year ahead, is how do we take these amazing stories? And really, when you hear the stories in healthcare, it's like no other industry.
Yeah.
Around. These are people who are standing by patients going through very difficult, challenging moments and often doing what I would consider to be heroic work. And these stories need to be told. We need to shine a light on this heroism, on this incredible service that's being performed. And so as we think about, you know, this upcoming year, we're going to take those stories and create a whole program in social media first, where we start to, again, let the people tell the stories themselves, not artificially created, but rather let these stories have their moment.
I love that. What about something that's not working or fading away or something that you're not as interested in?
What we're not going to be looking at next year is really, I think, the use of celebrities. And we have dabbled in that area before. Celebrities bring heat. Celebrities bring, you know, a built-in audience. So there's certainly advantages to celebrities. But I just feel that it gets in the way of the authenticity of the message we're trying to create. We do work with influencers, but I'll tell you, even on the influencer front, we're very selective in terms of who we're partnering with. It's not just about eyeballs for us. It's, do we have shared values? Do we have a shared sort of purpose around, you know, the topics that we want to talk about? If we do, certainly. But those influencers are almost never celebrities. They're usually people who are the unsung heroes in their communities, who are doing some amazing work, putting in gardens or addressing food deserts in communities where it's hard to get, you know, vegetables and fruits and things that are good for you. That's the kind of partnerships that we want to have, as opposed to the heat, if you will, that you get from a well-known name.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, it's so interesting. I mean, I think that celebrity and influencer and all that is just, at the end of the day, we work a lot with celebrities because we in our fiction series that we do in Murder and HR and the Hacker Chronicles. And at the end of the day, like, those folks, for the most part, especially if they're actors, want to act. Like, they don't want to be brand spokespeople. You know what I mean? So to invest in them is just extremely expensive, you know, and potentially cost prohibitive. And, you know, in things like that, you can have a hugely outsized results, like you said, but it also, you know, it's like dating, right? It's like you have to find the right person.
It's so true. And the public is so savvy about this. I mean, you may enjoy a commercial that's all focused on celebrity and they're almost always humor, but how memorable is it? How does it connect you to the brand itself? Or is it just a platform for the celebrity? You know, again, good people can disagree on this point, but for us, it just isn't a good fit.
Yeah, that's cool. When there's like a really authentic, organic tie-in, I feel like it always works so much better if that's part of who they are and what they do. And, you know, like if you're selling surfboards and someone, that's a horrible example, but and that person surfs a lot and nobody knew that they surfed, you know, it's like, then, you know, it can be a fit. If it's a technology company and they use your technology, then like, that's a pretty great fit. If it's just sort of like shoehorned in there, it doesn't feel as authentic.
Agreed.
How do you measure success? How do you measure ROI?
We use media mix modeling to measure every dollar we spend so we know how all of our various tactics are performing down to the geo, down to the tactic. It's very effective. Then we also have brand trackers in place, so we, which are a little longer term. So how are we moving the needle on that awareness and preference capture? So measurement is absolutely important. It's part of the dialogue that has to happen to ensure that that you know, leaders in your organization are coming along, that it's that advertising is not seen as a frivolous waste of money, but rather a critical contributor to the bottom line.
Any big trends or things that you're looking at that are coming up?
Well, I mentioned Gen AI, and that's going to be incredibly disruptive. I've really been immersed in it. I've had an opportunity to hear a number of people talk about it. And one thing is clear is that content creation will be forever changed.
Right.
I still am of the belief you're going to need humans and smart, creative people to curate that content, to inspire that content, but it will be disruptive without a doubt. I mean, you look, in fact, just a few days ago, I saw a demo on a video, an advertisement that was demoed where everything was artificial. The sceneries, the movement, even the voice or the voiceover, it was all artificial. And, you know, it's not quite stellar at this point, but boy,
it's
getting close. And so you just know how disruptive that's going to be. And so we would be foolish not to pay attention to it. And I think that the other thing that Gen AI can do and is starting to really do well is listen. It's so hard to understand your customer. Your customer is changing in terms of their preferences and their kind of alliances and their passions. We know that in this day of social media, how fast that's now changing. It used to be much more stable. And so what Gen AI is giving us is these tools to better listen to these kind of macro trends and micro trends that are happening at now, as I said, lightning speed.
Yeah. Any other campaign stories or activations or things that you've done that are particularly notable?
One of the activations that we recently did that was kind of fun was we had we always want to tie it in to our advertisements so that one, we can get some earned media out of it and helpfully explain through the earned media why you might be seeing this kind of communication, how it serves, how these moments of human connection serves as metaphors for the care we provide. And one of the commercials we had was a girl who had a shaved head. Her father was shaving his head, and it was a beautiful kind of a moment of solidarity between someone who was getting needed care and a parent who was there for his daughter to say, I'm with you. And so we did some investigation and found an organization called Locks of Love, where people who have long hair can have that hair cut and donated. And this hair is then taken to make wigs for people who are undergoing things like chemotherapy or might have alopecia. And so we sponsored this event in Los Angeles. We had a well-known hairstylist come in and people lined up to go into a hospital to have their hair cut. And,
cool.
You know, I think it was really meaningful for the, cause our caregivers were part of it as well at that location. And it was meaningful for the child who we invited to come along and be part of this. It was featured in our commercial. It was meaningful for the people doing it. That's what we're always striving for in our activations is to get noticed, but to have it really linked to what we do and why it's important.
Yeah, it seems like you have so many things that you do that are about building something, making a difference, capturing it and sharing that. It's very much a, you know, show don't tell sort of, you know, strategy, it seems like.
That's right. And I know I keep referencing our commercials. I don't know if I've even explained them, but we don't use actors. What we do is we go and use what we call found footage. So we scour Facebook and YouTube and Instagram, TikTok, etc. And we look for these like just amazing moments of where people are coming together, where there's, as I said, that human connection. Sometimes it's with animals as well. And we just think that they're, as I said, they're these beautiful metaphors of that moment of care, mm-hmm. that healing can occur when we're present with each other. And that's what we want to get out into the world. It really, we see it as a movement. Hello, human kindness. It's a movement to just be a little kinder, to be a little more empathetic. And yes, you know, we think it's part of what we offer at our locations, but at the end of the day, we would love it if again, people could be inspired by it in everything they do.
All right, let's get to our final segment. Quick hits. These are quick questions and quick answers, just like how quickly you could talk to somebody from Qualified if you go to qualified.com right now, and they can tell you how their customers generate pipeline quickly, tap into your greatest asset, your website, and identify your most valuable visitors to instantly start sales conversations right there on the website. Go to qualified.com to learn more. Mark, quick hits. Are you ready?
I am ready.
Number one, do you have a favorite book, podcast, or TV show that you'd recommend?
Podcast would be, outside of this one, would be Smartless. I just love it. The chemistry between Jason and Will and Sean is phenomenal. And then they plussed it recently with this HBO show that was even more odd and funny and strange. And so it doesn't matter who they're talking to or the topic that they're covering. It just always brings a smile to my face.
So good. Do you have a favorite non-marketing hobby that maybe indirectly makes you a better marketer?
Oh, hiking. I've been hiking for years. And I'll tell you, you need to get out of your head. It's so easy to just be bombarded with so much. And hiking allows you to just breathe, to see something majestic, to just clear your mind. And what I find is that then creates the space for creativity later on.
100%. Somebody said this, and I forget who it was. Might have been like Naval Ravikant or something, that they were like, we live in a like sort of like a world of like excess information, excess food, excess everything. And like the antidote to like food is exercise. And the antidote to the information saturation is meditation. And like you could argue what meditation is and you know all that sort of stuff. But like for me, it's like if I don't reset my brain in the outdoors, you know, and be around that stuff, it's like get some quiet, get some away from screens, away from the studio. Oh my goodness. If you weren't in marketing or business at all, what do you think you'd be doing?
Well, I was talking to your producer before we began, and I said, I'm so fascinated by podcasting. Now, I don't expect to make a fortune in it. I think that train has left.
it's never too late.
But I'm fascinated by the genre. You know, I grew up listening to radio. I mean, obviously, we had other communications. I'm not that old. But I loved music. And to me, what it brings, what a good podcast does is it's like those evenings around the campfire where you're listening to either a great story or hearing someone sort of pontificate with some insight that's just really cool. And I just love how it kind of focuses you. There's something special about it. So I'm intrigued.
I love that. Best advice for a first time SVP of brand.
So I think the advice I would have is just don't shy away with what you're most passionate about. Bring that passion forward. And I would say not just for an SVP of brand, I would say for any level. Like if you lose what you're passionate about in the pursuit of something else, everything you do just is not going to be the same. And so just make sure you're feeding that passion and finding ways to kind of extend it.
Mark, it's been awesome having you on the show. So great to catch up. So great to hear about all the cool marketing stuff y'all are doing. Any final thoughts? Anything to plug?
I'll plug my team, both in-house and the agencies who support the work. You know, I'm being sincere. They inspire me, excite me. They're continually educating me. Many of them are young, creative, engaged. They, you know, I mentioned different backgrounds earlier. They all have different backgrounds and views. And this has a tangible effect, I think, in the work that we're doing every day.
I love it. Thanks again, Mark. Appreciate it. And we'll talk soon.
Thanks so much. I really enjoyed this.
Thanks again to our friends at Qualified.com, a conversational sales and marketing platform that transforms the way B2B companies sell. Go to Qualified.com to learn more.